I hope you've heard me say over the past few weeks that this following Jesus stuff doesn't cultivate a lot of certitude. This following Jesus isn't clear, it's not always comforting, sometimes it's even confusing. And yet Jesus invites us to follow him. In the midst of the drama, in the midst of the times when he gets all cosmic and way out in the sky, or in those times where he's there right in front of you in the dirt and the dust and the grime of our lives. So much of the story speaks for itself. I'm just going to say a few words to help us continue to live into and live out of the story. It's interesting that Jesus keeps on hammering at his accusers in this section and in the chapters to come. Why are you trying to kill me? I did one work. You're all up in arms. Why in the world are you so mad at me? Where is he going with all this? It seems like Jesus is pushing and pushing and pushing harder to say, I am who I am. In John 6, he said, I am the bread of life. And then John 7 segues us to where he's getting more and more pushy, to where next week in chapter 8, we read Jesus saying, I am from above. I'm not of this world. I'm the light of the world. He pushes even harder, especially to the religious leaders who think they know the Bible so well. He says, I tell you, even before Abraham was, I am. And then we get to the apex of today's story, the last day of the festival. And in the context here, on the last day of the festival, the priest would often come out and lead a liturgy, and there would be a pouring of water upon the altar near the temple courts. And so envision that on this last day of the festival, when everyone's singing and rejoicing and these big 25-liter urns are coming out and the water is gushing out on the altar, Jesus stands up and he says, if anyone is thirsty, please come here to me and drink away. The person trusting me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will come pouring out of that person's innermost being. And then in the final frames of today's story, we're left with the crowd, puzzling or pontificating or pondering. We hear them shout, Messiah, prophet, con artist, criminal, arrest him. And isn't it interesting to notice that the ones who seem to get it at the end are probably the lowliest people in all the crowd? They're called the temple police in some translations. Here I call them the young adults, the ruffians, the lowlifes. Imagine those people who end up being bouncers at the shady bar in the city. These are the ruffians, the hooligans, the thugs. And yet they are the ones who seem to echo what we heard a few weeks ago from the woman at the well. That lowly Samaritan woman who said, come and see a man. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? And in the same way, these doubting thugs answer the religious people, the senior pastors and the serious. And they say, no one ever spoke like this man. And then who else sides with these low-life thugs? It's one of the religious leaders. It's Nicodemus, who a few weeks ago was sneaking in the dark with Jesus, now is precariously stepping out into the light and says, doesn't Jesus deserve a fair hearing? It seems that Jesus too is being touched by this one who speaks like no other. And so what's our response? As we try to live out of this story, maybe we're a little frustrated with the story. It doesn't seem to give us enough answers. And yet Jesus stands before us and says, come here to me and drink away. In the most holy and loving, gracious way possible, might we experience the voice of Jesus anew today, saying, come, come to me. Drink away. Drink away your sorrow, or drink away your shame, or drink away your failures. Drink away your disappointment. Drink away your pride. Drink away all your striving to be religiously right and righteous. Drink away your jealousy. Drink away your fear, the accusations, your self-destructive thoughts. Drink them away. Drink away your grumbling. Drink away your division. I'm sure you can fill in the blank. There's lots of things that work against us in our daily lives. And Jesus today anew invites us to come to him, to drink away. And there's a promise here. As we're drinking away, even us who are these broken vessels, this deep, lasting, gushing life comes forth out of us. So it's not just a journey inward, it's a journey outward. To be that blessing, to go to the parched places where our Lord might send us this week, to be living water, to be like these first evangelists or these low-life thugs who have this little faith that they're hanging on to say, no one has ever spoke like this. I've never encountered anyone like this who's able to fill my heart, my soul, and my mind. And perhaps there's other watery verses that might emerge as you're walking in light of this story this week. We read one this morning from Isaiah 58, Isaiah 43, where Isaiah says, behold, I do a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making streams in the desert, a way in the wasteland. As we close this morning, there's a few bowls of water here for you to maybe drink away from this morning. Or after service, you might come up and just dip your hands in the water, and maybe you'll put it on your forehead, or maybe you'll bring a friend up and you'll splash it around on them. Drink away. I even brought straws this morning. So, like, I know I've touched that stuff, so it might be out of bounds. Drink away, brothers and sisters. Drink away. At least touch the water. Maybe you won't want to drink it. But at least touch the water. Be reminded of your baptism, perhaps. Or be reminded of the ways that you're getting a glimpse, even now as the Spirit's moving in this place, of how you are being washed anew. How this living Jesus who encounters us in this living word is saying, come to me here, just as you are. Come with all your brokenness, your joy, your sorrow, your pain, your delight, and drink away. Behold, I do new things. Living water will come pouring out of your innermost being. Come, come to the water. Come to this living Christ. Rejoice, gushers, rejoice.